The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yep.
Gabe,
yes.
What do I love more than anything in sports or whatever?
I told you so.
How do you tell somebody that you care about deeply, I told you so?
Hold on, I can't say that to her, but I can do it with a look.
Okay,
here's
so
the
then,
look.
So
I don't know if you guys, here's the look, Jen.
Gently with a rose in a funny way, like it's a hilarious joke.
The only positive out of this, the only positive is I don't have to cook dinner while we're down here because there's nothing in the fridge.
Or do you just let it go? Because saying it would just make things worse. Probably the funny way.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from a brand new Pottawatomie Sportsbook inside Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. With Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora, here's Jen Latta.
You heard about it. She running her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sitting down. Our chair is stacked just like a
mouth. I'm very conflicted this morning, Gabe Neitzel. Because on one hand, I'm very disappointed, I'm very frustrated, I'm very sad about the end of the Bucks season. Although I'm sure some people would say that the season mercifully came to an end last night at the hands of the Pacers, 120-98. But on the other hand, we are spending the morning at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, the brand new Pottawatomie Sportsbook. And if you are watching on the stream, you can see behind us the enormous, the ginormous, the I just saw Evan Cohen's head on one of those big screens, sent him a text message and said, well, at least the figurative matches the literal now.
He's going to be upset. He's going to be upset about that.
The screens are incredible. The seating is incredible. We are up atop the sports book on the second level of the sports book. They are officially open today. So you see what I'm saying? I'm conflicted because on one hand, I'm sad about the Bucks.
I think Joel Embiid's not that big in real life.
Yeah, he isn't. But on the other hand, I am thrilled to be here at Pottawatomie Sportsbook this morning as they are celebrating their grand opening of the Vegas-style sportsbook and the poker room and all of the other cool things that they've got going on down here at Pottawatomie. Do you feel similarly?
I feel like I might just have to move that box of donuts right in front of me and just eating feelings.
Hey,
I think that's what I
need. Can you slide that box of donuts for Gabe?
Like, I mean, look, this is all great and all, but, like, it's still... Still doesn't. I mean, it helps a little bit, but there's an emptiness.
How many donuts do you think it will take to fill the void that the Bucks are leaving?
I don't know. I mean, how many shots did they miss last night?
I only have one question.
What's that?
One question. Jen, how long did you stand in the spot?
Yeah, so if you watched the game last night, you know this was a game of runs early, right? The Bucks go on a run, and then the Pacers go on a run, and then the Bucks respond with a run, and the Pacers respond with a run. And when they were doing that, it felt like, okay, they're in this. As long as they can continue to match their intensity, to match these runs, I feel pretty good about the Bucks. The answer is about 32 minutes. And in the second half of the game, Gabe... Well, that's when it felt to me like the wheels really fell off. That's when it felt to me like it wasn't worth it anymore. Because here's what I have said all season long. The way that the NBA is structured now, I will give you about a 14-point lead. And I think a 14-point lead is still surmountable, if you will, in this version of the NBA.
Sure. We've seen leads like that fall all the time.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, a 14-point lead in the second quarter, a 14-point lead in the third quarter really doesn't mean much.
Right.
You can go on a run. You can, you know, quickly make that up. But, yeah, it just – they couldn't get – it felt like any stops. Any time they started to get some momentum, the Pacers would punch right back because they couldn't get enough stops.
I am comfortable in saying this. This was the biggest waste of a season in Wisconsin sports history. This is worse than Ray Rhodes. It's the biggest waste of a season where championship aspirations were there once they signed Dame to where we're at today for the second year being eliminated in the first round of the playoffs.
Sure,
you
but
agree
also
with
like
me or no?
No, because I mean if Giannis was healthy, Chew, and the same in the outcomes could have still been the same. They lose to the Pacers 4-2. But without Giannis, I have a hard time saying that.
Well, then give me a comparable. What was worse? Give me a worse season. Because this is worse than Ray Rhodes, because we were – the window was closing. It was rapidly closing in 97. This was a waste.
Oh, Chewy, that's easy. That's so easy.
What?
2011
what?
Packers, 15-1. Then you get boat raced by the Giants at home in your first playoff game?
The year after
yeah, but the,
Super year after
the regular the season. But at least the regular season was awesome. There
yeah,
was
yeah, but nobody
nothing
cares about the
awesome
regular season,
no,
man.
Chewy's right about that. I mean, again, when you're a fan and you're invested, you want there to be some level of payout. And the payout through that regular season was dub, 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 dub,
yeah,
right? Like, that's enjoyable. For the Bucks this year, it was clunk, 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 fire a coach, clunk,
yep,
clunk, right? Injuries, clunk, clunk. There was never, like, a consistent momentum. And this injury thing with Giannis, man, it is really, I mean, it's not just Giannis, obviously, but in 2020, there was the ankle injury. Then we had him missing in 2021 a little bit. They obviously ended up winning the whole dang thing, but we know he missed some games there. I did not, in 2023, there was a couple of games missed with the back injury. In 2024, all six games with the soleus injury. That soleus injury was way worse than we thought, right?
Yes.
Because we expected Giannis to miss a couple of games, the rest of the team to have to carry the load, but just basically get them through. We were saying, like, 1-1, mm-hmm, right? Split. Giannis will be back. He'll throw the team on his back. He'll be able to take care of this whole dang thing. But then it was like another game and another game and another game. That, to me, has been a frustrating element of – I'm not frustrated that he has an injury. I'm frustrated that the timetable we were given was different than what it was in actuality.
Well,
and that's all about expectations, which, Gabe, I want to go back to, because that's the difference between this season and – let's use Packers as a comparison. The Packers this year with Jordan Love under center, we had low expectations, mm-hmm, right? Every game was gravy if you got a W, right? But then they start winning, and then they win the playoff game, and you're like, holy moly, this was a fantastic year for the Green Bay Packers. The Bucks, because they've been good, because they have Giannis, they don't get that luxury of, well, whatever you do will be good. You know, we'll be happy with that. There are championship aspirations surrounding this team every year that Giannis is on the roster, and they fell short again.
But again, that's because Giannis was hurt. How many teams, I keep coming back to this because it's the thing that makes the most sense to me. How many teams in the NBA are winning a championship without their best player? How many playoff games were the Packers winning without Jordan Love this year? So without Jordan Love, without Giannis, yeah, I was hoping that they'd be able to survive in advance. But it also tells you just how bad that injury was, because this is a guy who has consistently come back soon and early from injuries, and it just tells you how serious this was. And again, that's our expectations of, oh, this is what we were expecting from him, and the Bucks never said that. Giannis never said that. We just expected him to come back when, in actuality, they were more cautious with – I mean, they never gave us a timeline. It was just – he's doubtful.
So, Joe, to go back to what you said, though, about it being the biggest waste of a season, right now, in the moment, even though we are at the Potawatomi Sportsbook and it is doing a really good job of easing my frustrations and easing my disappointment – if next year they win the whole dang thing, and this year was a building block to get to next year, then it's not a then it's not the biggest waste of a season, right? Then it was a building block, a step to success, to quote Giannis. But right now, independently, it feels very, very bad. It feels like a waste of a season. I agree with you.
I'm just tired of the excuses every year. Well, he underestimated Miami. What happened the year before? Oh, well, they did this. Oh, Giannis was hurt. I mean, it comes to a point where enough already. Enough. Just win the damn thing. And I who has confidence going into next year? Who has confidence? But other than Gabe, who has confidence going into next year?
Dame Lillard.
I don't.
Who told us he's excited about next year yesterday after the game.
Great. I don't know. I'm in limbo. I have no idea what to expect next year. I don't expect them to win a championship. I mean, yeah, they look great on paper. Ooh, paper for next year? Are you kidding me? They look great. You know what you don't do? Play games on paper. So, my expectations are extremely low. I'm bracing myself. 800-990-9900.
800-990-3776. Chewy says that this was the biggest waste of a season in Wisconsin sports history. Do you agree? Again, you're at the mercy of the expectations placed on you, which are often a factor based on what you have done. They did, Gabe, it felt like, collect and amass a championship level team. But maybe it was, I mean, we saw the depth issue last night, right? The Pacers, they kept flashing the stat on the board of how much the Pacers bench was outscoring the Bucks bench, and it was devastating. I saw at one point it was like 43-6, 44-6.
I think it was like 33-1.
Astounding, unbelievable. So we know that the depth was an issue, but when you look at the roster up and down, didn't it feel like a roster of Dame and Chris and Giannis could get this thing done?
Yeah, but at the same time, like they were missing, you lose a little bit of that defense. You're hoping that Malik Beasley is part of the solution. He wasn't part of the solution. Pat Connaughton, I think, really took a step back this year from what he used to be. The backup point guard role was a revolving door. And by the way, I can't imagine Patrick Beverley's back after the antics he pulled last night.
Ooh, bad.
On the floor and in the locker room.
Oh, terrible.
And
for those who missed it, he chucked a ball at some Pacers fans.
Not once.
I didn't know that it was twice.
But twice.
And then in the locker room, refused to answer questions or even let a reporter listen to his responses because she did not subscribe to his podcast. Now, you could argue from a marketing standpoint, maybe that was, because now he's getting all kinds of talk and all kinds of chatter about his podcast, but just not a good look from Pat Beverley. And look, he was frustrated, I'm sure, about the loss. Malik Beasley saying, "This just sucks. It sucks, man. I don't even know what to think." So, Gabe, I'm curious how you have been able to quantify your emotions this morning. When you think about how you're feeling about the way the Bucks season went and, of course, how it ended, where are you at?
It sucks. I am disappointed. But John Horst, assuming he doesn't become the scapegoat and doesn't leave to become the president of basketball operations for the Detroit Pistons or anything like that, Horst is the general manager that every Wisconsin sports fans wants every other general manager to be. He's been the aggressive one. Anytime somebody who has looked at the Packers and go, "Man, Goody just doesn't make moves for now." That's what John Horst has done. Horst has been aggressive every offseason, just about every trade deadline, trying to get this roster in a spot where they can compete for a championship. And I know their resources are limited. I thought the same thing last year. I thought the resources were limited. And yeah, Dame's nice to think about, but they can't actually pull off that trade. And sure enough, they were able to pull off that trade. I think with the core of Lillard, Chris and Giannis, you can build something, and if you get creative with the rest of the roster, I trust that Horst is going to be able to put something together because he has been able to do that in the past.
800-990-3776. Let's go to some of your reaction rolling in hot and heavy, fast and furious this morning on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Adam saying, "I blame everything on the curse of Jimmy Haslam ownership. This team will be cursed as long as he is part of the ownership group." Dave from Aaron weighing in saying, "Gabe, hear me out. The Bucks need to hire Joe Barry. Can't stop any three-point shot, but Joe Barry's motto is not to give up the big play." Just saying, LOL. A little humor on this morning when everybody is down in the dumps.
I don't want Joe Barry anywhere near any of my teams.
Ryan from Iguanago weighing in saying, "All I know is next year Giannis will be hurt at the end of the season." Fair or unfair?
Unfair. I mean, it's happened totally the last couple of seasons, but
three seasons ago, he was
good. Like, I think that's something that he's going to look into, they're going to look into, but yeah, I'm not that concerned about Giannis.
Dave weighing in saying, "Giannis's injury played a role in the Bucks' early exit, but what played a bigger role was the team's inconsistency. They were never a serious contender this season." Do you agree with that, that they were never a serious contender this season? Because, again, you're trying to use the metric of what they do in the regular season. I guess wins and losses get thrown out. It's more of what type of improvement you're seeing, what type of growth you're seeing, if they're working on their sets, if they're getting better with the certain rotations. So do you agree that they were never a contender throughout the regular season, Gabe?
It didn't really feel like it, but again, the postseason's a different animal. And I would have loved to see what Dame and Giannis can do in the postseason. Because I'll tell you this, if they win this series and Giannis is healthy and they start rolling, like, I feel pretty good at going up against the Knicks. And then they beat the Knicks. You would feel, okay, All right, let's give it a shot. We're in the Eastern Conference Finals. We've got two of the best players in the NBA. Like, were they a serious contender? Probably not. But at the same time, you look at the top two guys that they have and splash Chris in there. I mean, in a seven-game series, when everybody's healthy, I feel decent about their chances. They may not be the favorite, but that's why if you can build and put the right pieces around Dame, around Giannis, around Chris, I think they're still going to have an opportunity next season.
Chris Middleton, who despite the series loss had a fantastic series, really carried the team in the absence of Giannis and in the absence of Dame Lillard until yesterday's game. And I will tell you this, I did see a lot of people saying, again, what we have said on this show, he is underappreciated. He does not get the respect he deserves across the league. And I actually saw people saying, time to trade Chris Middleton.
Well, yeah, it's a day that ends in Y. I mean, he's the most underappreciated. You want to talk about hyperbolic stuff, Chewy? Is there a more underappreciated athlete in Wisconsin sports history than Chris Middleton? Three-time All-Star, Olympic champion, scored 40 points in a finals game, and like he's just not respected.
I would trade him. This combination doesn't work. How many years in a row we have to do this? I know Dame's.
But it's not. But it's a different combination.
You
didn't get to have in the postseason.
It's the back end superstars. You need role players, okay? Because what happens when Dame and Giannis are there? Middleton disappears. You know, great. Let's just keep it in the garage in case we need it because Giannis is going to get hurt.
Except for the 42 that he scored in Chris scored in Game 3.
Start getting some role players in there and find the combination. You have your two scorers and get some value for them. I'm just sick of running this thing. Let's run it back. I was just running back. It's like a broken record.
What do you mean? What do you mean, run it back?
Gabe, you said the same thing last year about Miami. They lose to Miami with everyone in the first round.
Between now, they're on their third different coach.
Let's do it again.
They're on their third different coach, and they traded for Dame. Like, this isn't running it back.
Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
Well, but no, but okay, you want to say it's running it back. It's not running it back.
Blaming Giannis and his injuries, they sucked the whole year, and Giannis played. Now you're dismissing it. Well, Giannis was hurt in the playoffs, and we'll just do it again next year. La-dee-da-da-da.
But they didn't run it back, man. Like, what? Pick an argument. How did they run it back this year? By firing their head coach and trading for a superstar?
What's next year's excuse? You feel good about going into next year? What's next year's excuse?
Let's be
proactive here and have the excuse ready for next year.
If something happens... If this same thing happens next year and everybody's healthy, sure. But also, you're getting a full season of Damian Lillard hitting the ground running, getting him and Giannis. Like, that continuity matters, especially when you trade a head coach that wasn't running offensive sets that worked for Damian Lillard. You're going to have Doc Rivers for an entire offseason. You're going to have continuity heading into next season, and I think that counts for something. Again, I think there are going to be some massive changes to the back end of this roster because there has to be, like, but I think that the core of Chris, Dame, and Giannis are sticking around.
It is frustrating to look across the league and see a guy like Dante DiVincenzo, who's averaging 15 points per game, a guy like Grayson Allen, who is averaging 14 points per game, and wonder how they could have helped this team if they were here, ifs and buts and candy and nuts and all of those things. But here's the other dilemma I think that the Bucks are in, guys. Much like the Jordan Love contract, where we sit here and debate whether or not he deserves this enormous contract that starts with a 5, as Adam Schefter has told us, we only had 9 games out of him where you think he really played at an elite level. The Bucks only had 8 games of Giannis, Dame Lillard, and Chris Middleton on the court together. How do you evaluate with 8 games, Gabe, whether or not that is enough to say this threesome, this core, this
eight under
big
Doc.
Three, if you will, 8 under Doc.
Under Doc.
So Doc Rivers is the head coach and those three guys together. How do you evaluate and see if that combination works? Don't answer that now. We're going to talk to Jason Wilde. We will ask him that comparison to the Green Bay Packers right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Live for the grand opening of the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is hanging out atop the sportsbook in the broadcast booth. We will talk all morning long about this fantastic Vegas-style sportsbook that has its grand opening today. And now we are joined by our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
We're good. This place looks fantastic. I know that your show will be originating from here with Tausch and Jesse as well. So let's talk a little bit about the Bucks. I just asked the guys, much like Jordan Love, where we only had like 9 games of really good ball that you're making assessment on to make a decision about his contract. There were only 8 games last year where you had Dame Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton and Doc Rivers all working together, pulling the rope in the same direction. Does that feel like enough to commit to that foursome going forward?
Well, I think if you give it a chance, you'll have a better idea, right? And 8 games out of 82 or whatever it is, I understand that there's a lot of disappointment. I totally get that. I don't want to be a sunshine, happy person here, because I know Bucks fans are frustrated and disappointed. But I don't know how you didn't listen to the post game yesterday and what all those different guys said and not think, you know what, let's at least see what this group can do together next year when they have a full off season, they have their coach here. Hopefully people stay healthy, which obviously another year into their careers gets a little bit harder. But, I mean, they lost the series in 6 games that they played without their version of Michael Jordan. And they sure came close to winning game 3. And then they win game 5 at home. Suddenly, last night's game would have been the Pacers had a win at home to keep the series alive without Giannis. So, yeah, I think it's a great question, Jen. Because I think Love and LaFleur really hit a really great rhythm, and you could see the connectivity that those two had after the Pittsburgh game. I don't know if there's a NBA equivalent. I just know that I don't think you know enough to say, okay, this won't work with these 4 guys. Just like you maybe can't say, oh, this definitely will work. I don't think you can definitely say it won't.
But, Jason, why are we so much more critical of the Packers than opposed to the Bucks? Because if this was the Packers, I would have to maybe say 4 words on this show today. 4. Because the phone lines wouldn't be able to handle the people absolutely venting over a season like that. And it just seems like we give the Bucks a pass. Like, oh, let's just wait till next year. I mean, we've been doing this for how many years since they won the championship?
Yeah, I would look at their last several playoff exits. One of their big 3 has always seemingly been hurt. This year they had 2 of the 3 for multiple games in this series. I don't think we'd be killing the Packers if they lost the playoff game with Sean Clifford at quarterback. Or had they lost, you know, the NFC Championship game in 2020 with Tim Boyle playing instead of Rodgers. And by the way, I think we were extremely critical of them losing that game at home, even without the crowd and whatever else, to Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. But I don't know. First of all, I feel like the Bucks fans that I'm friends with are extremely critical and frustrated. But again, should the Giannis absence not matter at all here? Like, do we really think that they lose this series if Giannis is fully healthy? I was at the game when he got hurt. And I he went down with a non-contact injury. And I just thought, God, these guys, if this is serious, I don't care that they have Damian Lillard. These guys have no chance in the postseason. And that's exactly what happened.
I'm not saying get rid of Giannis. I'm just saying, you know what happens when guys get older, another year older?
Right. You're right. And if you feel that way about Middleton, that's I get it. And or if you feel that way about Lillard, too, that's fine. I get that. I'm just saying that your original question was, why do we give the Bucks a pass? And, like, do you think if we did, like, for example, they lose to the 49ers as the number one seed back in the 2021 playoffs, and there was obviously a ton of criticism. Do you think if they lose that game with Jordan Love at quarterback, given how Jordan Love had played in his one start in 2021 in Kansas City, do you think we'd have been killing the Packers because they lost with their backup quarterback? The narrative would have been, God, this guy's the next quarterback? He's not very good. We're really in trouble, right? I don't think there would have been mountains of criticism thrown at the Packers for losing with their backup quarterback. Now, I know that's not apples to apples because there's only five guys on the floor and you have a better chance of influencing the game as one of the other four than you do as one of the other 21 on offense and defense. But I still, I don't know, like, I will give you this. We were extremely critical of the Packers in 2022, and people didn't seem to care one bit that Rodgers played with a broken thumb. Whereas when your old partner played with a broken thumb, we just couldn't rave enough about how great it was that he was the toughest guy ever to play the game and what quarterback plays with a broken thumb. And Rodgers got none of that. And so maybe in that way there's a parallel. But again, I don't understand. And look, the Bucks are not my area of expertise. I'll be in the Packers locker room at noon today when we get to talk to all the new draft picks in person for the very first time. But I don't know how you look at this team. I understand there's frustration. I understand there's deserved criticism. But I don't understand how you don't look at it and go, all right, look, we played without Giannis for all six games. He's one of the greatest players, not only in the league now, but in NBA history. That may have affected the outcome.
Well, Jason, you just said it. You get to talk with the draft picks today. Which one are you looking forward to talking to the most?
Well, I was going to come with a cup of water, cold water, and welcome Jacob Monk to the team.
Like an sure, Gatorade. You know, hey, congratulations on getting drafted. Little Gatorade bath, sure.
Exactly, just like after the Seinfeld softball team wins. look, this is one of my favorite days because, you know, you do a little research and you come up with some different angles on these guys. I will say this. I really want to learn more about Edgerrin Cooper and about Javon Bullard because if we're being realistic, they are the two that are the most likely to have an impact on this year's team, right? Like, Jordan Morgan may very well end up being a starting offensive lineman. I'm not dismissing him. But we know they need another linebacker to play. We know they need another safety to play. Those guys are the highest drafted, both in the second round. So I think there's an expectation for them. So those guys I'm really interested in. And then, you know, look, I know that these are the stories that I prefer to tell, but it's also hard to tell it as well as it's been previously told. So I'm a little leery about that. But Jen on draft day and in the craziness that was going on on day three sent me a story about Michael Pratt, the quarterback from Tulane, and he has overcome a ton of tragedy. We're going to see, I would assume, the tattoo that he has for his friend that he lost, and so that is obviously a story that I'm really eager to have an opportunity to tell as he starts this next chapter with the Packers.
Jason, I pitched that story six times to College Game Day. Just so you know.
Not one.
And
not two.
Tulane did well. Like, Tulane was good.
Sure.
And they were like, and then it never got through the, you know, got to go through a lot of the channels and all that stuff. And so as soon as he got drafted, I was like, Jason will take the story. Please, for the love of God, do this story on this young man. It's a tremendous story. I wish we had done it on College Game Day, but I was thrilled that the Cosmos has put us in a position where you can do an incredible story on him and what he went through with his friend.
I didn't realize as you know, you've covered the draft. When things are kind of all, you're getting conference calls with the players and another pick is being made. I didn't know that you didn't do the story.
No, isn't that incredible? I pitched it year after year. Like, one year it was like he was kind of like a hot quarterback, and they were like, oh, he could go in the transfer portal, but then he decided to stay at Tulane, and so it was like, and then Tulane was doing well, so I kept pitching it to my bosses, and they just kept being like, thanks, but no thanks. So again, I'm glad that we might get the opportunity to actually do. You might get the opportunity to do the story. It is, as you mentioned, tragic, but also. So he says that it's a big reason why he is in the position he is in. Jason, we appreciate you joining us this morning as we are live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook for their grand opening. We're going to talk to some people from Pottawatomie as the morning goes on. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch will also be down here at Pottawatomie Sportsbook for the grand opening. I believe Tausch and Jesse will be here, as Jason mentioned. He'll be handling some of his responsibilities today at Lambeau Field. All right, we got to take a break. We got to get to Craig Karmazin. We'll talk a little more about the Bucks, and also we are going to continue talking about this incredible sportsbook. Did you notice how we were hearing the mic check? Check, check,
oh, team, yeah.
Check, check, check. And then you guys just closed the soundproof windows, and it went away. Incredible. More from Pottawatomie's Sportsbook on the grand opening of the Sportsbook after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Change the way you do business. Take more control with the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line. All customized for your business. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I am so impressed with Jordan Love, you know, and I think, like, Packers fans should feel so good about Jordan Love.
Fridays with Mo.
I think Rodgers never spoke out and was direct, and Giannis should be praised for being clear so that everyone knows, hey, Giannis told the organization what he wanted.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend party.
All right, let's check in and see how Craig Karmazin is doing this morning after the Pacers beat the Bucks 120-98 last night, eliminating them from the season. Craig, generally speaking, how are you feeling about the season?
Oh, I'm so disappointed in the season. It was such a sad season in so many ways, and certainly not what any of us wanted, right? We want to compete for championships, and if you had told me that back-to-back seasons this team wouldn't get out of the first round, I mean, that's not something that was even believable. I mean, right? I mean, this team, you think this team starts the season at least in the conference semifinals, right? That was the standard that has been established. So for 2 years in a row to not get out of the first round is stunning.
So where do we go from here, Craig? I mean, obviously there's going to be some changes, but how big of changes?
I was really excited to hear what Dame Lillard had to say after the game. I think there was an assumption that Dame Lillard didn't like Milwaukee, that Dame Lillard didn't want to be in Milwaukee, that really was, I think, taken from people just seeing that he was vulnerable about the struggles he had in adjusting to change after this long and to what was going on in his personal life. So I think the change happened. I think the biggest change happened with Dame Lillard coming in, with Doc Rivers being named the head coach. And what this team is going to need is some continuity together. Obviously, there's not going to be the same 15-man roster next year as there was this year. But I think the guts of this team is going to be similar. It's going to be a veteran team. It's going to be built around Giannis, Dame, and Chris Middleton. And it's going to be a championship-level team. So I don't think there needs to be significant change. And I don't speak for the organization when I say that, obviously, as I don't know anything. But that's how I see things.
Well, when you take a look at the roster and you mentioned...
I mean, did any of you watch the game, Gabe? Since I'm interrupting you, a little over a month ago on a Sunday, Oklahoma City came in here, and the Bucks had their full complement of everything for one of the few times this year. The defense was unbelievable. The offense, we ran them out of the building. I mean, when this team was together, I think this team showed it was a championship-level team.
Yeah, the limited sample size, you mentioned that. The first half of the Celtics game before Giannis got injured. When they had the full complement, Craig, yes, you felt good about what they had, certainly. But what do you think is the type of player, obviously because you can't say specific players, but what type of player do you think they need to add to the back end of the roster?
Yeah, I just don't see it that way. I don't think there's some magic pill. I think we saw such incredible contributions from so many different guys in this series that, because of, being down, two players and being down at times three players, right, with Bobby Portis's ejection. So I always have faith that, John Horst will find the guy that this organization, will make the right moves. I just think, the organization's clearly, I think, made a change years ago where they said, okay, you're going, after the bubble, you saw that the Lakers were able to win a championship by not having the best 15-man roster, right? They had the best 7 or 8-man roster. And that seems to be how you win in the NBA, right? The Denver Nuggets weren't playing 11 guys last year, right?
Craig,
they're playing 8 guys.
Craig,
and so
you can't do that when they're the oldest team in the league. You can't play with 7 guys. And you sit here and go, well, why do guys get hurt at the end of the year? Because they're old. You can't win with 7 guys. Their bench got outscored 50-10 last night.
That is how you win in the NBA in the most meaningful moments. And you can't win if one of your top 3 guys gets hurt. And you can't win when all 3 of your top guys are hurt. And it could be argued, right, that, hey, well, that's because they're older. And I think those 3 guys can be healthy through a season. And there's arguments that they should play more minutes during the regular season because that would keep them healthier. They should play less minutes during the regular season. But ultimately, injuries are a part of it. And this year, there were injuries.
All right, last thing for you, Craig, before we let you go, live from Potawatomi's brand new sports book on its grand opening. I'm seeing the words fart in the wind showing up on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line, obviously calling back to Ron Wolf saying that the Packers back in 97, were a fart in the wind. I think the concern for Packers, for sports fans, Packers and Bucks fans, is we put together these really great teams who managed to win titles. And I understand there's a privilege associated with what I'm about to say. And I understand that winning championships is hard. But I think fans are now starting to feel like these teams are farts in the wind because you can't back up the championship that Chewy's team won. You can't back up the 2011 Super Bowl. You can't back up the 2021 Larry O'Brien Trophy. Like, why do our sports teams have such a tough time creating a dynasty or taking their success and being able to stack it to future success?
Well, because that's why it's called the dynasty, because it is that difficult. How many teams have done it in the history of sports, right? How many teams can we look at in the NBA that have done it, right? You have the Lakers, you have the Spurs, you have very few teams that, you can look at in the last 20 years that have done stuff like that. Or, if you want to go 50 years, right, you add the Bulls to the mix and you add the Celtics to the mix. I mean, that is rare, rare air. And
but it's crazy because with
Giannis,
the Packers and the Bucks specifically, we believe that they have generational players, right? We believe that Aaron Rodgers was a generational, maybe Mount Rushmore quarterback in the NFL. We believe that Giannis is a unicorn. Is that not the recipe? I mean, have we just been believing that if you have a generational player, that's
the
recipe
NFL.
For sustained success?
I think it absolutely is in the NFL. I think in the NBA, it's a little harder. And it's a little harder, you know, from a market size standpoint and from a market standpoint. And if you want to go and bounce around, I think it's a lot easier. But, I mean, look at Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant is a generational talent who, you know, you can argue maybe the, you know, one of the best comparisons to Giannis in terms, you know, right now in terms of career and, you know, length and unicorn and all of those things. And Kevin Durant, you know, won his championship by joining a championship team. Let's not underestimate what was accomplished by Giannis in building this program. And let's remember that Giannis, I mean, still is coming into his peak. Look what LeBron James is doing 10 years later. I mean, this is far from over, and the meat is all there for a championship program.
All right, Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning as we try to work through our emotions surrounding the Bucks being bounced from the first round of the NBA playoffs and the season being over, some would say mercifully. Thanks for hanging out with
what
us.
What is the best bet? Wait, I need to know what's the best bet you guys are putting in or put in. What's going on?
Oh, okay, we got to look down at the ticker. We actually have Justin here with us. He's the VP of Digital Gaming. He's going to join us in just a second, and we can ask him, Justin, do you have your headset on?
Yes.
You can't advise about bets, though, right? You can't say to Craig.
I can, but I don't think you want to listen to what I'm saying.
Now, that is a man with some self-awareness.
I can't discuss any NBA bets, but
right. Well,
you
we got Brewers Cubs on
to.
The board. I'm not seeing numbers there, though. This is just more of like when the games are. Like, I can see NBA numbers over here, right?
Yeah. Well, again, so like they've got Bucks Pacers on Saturday, which is not happening. That game's on Saturday, so we got to wait around to see what the number's going to be for Brewers Cubs tonight.
See, what you have to look at is Brewers to win the division as opposed to Cubs to win the division. Because
oh, you're talking
Cubs
futures
are the favorite right now.
You want futures?
I'm saying any bet. I mean, the Brewers to win the division right now has got to feel good, right? I mean, don't we think the Brewers have won the division and the Cubs are the favorite? I think that's where the action is.
Some good value.
So let me just get this straight. So you asked us a question, but you already had the answer that you wanted us to say when you asked us the question. Am I following?
No. Okay. I figured you would have already made some bets this morning, and I was looking to hear what you were ready to cash on.
Yeah, no, I roll in right before the show starts, but afterward... Afterward is a totally different ball game. Craig, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Enjoy your time out there. See ya.
All right. So for those bets, we'll talk to Justin Arnett. He's here in the studio with us. He'll fill us in on all the things going on here at Potawatomi Sportsbook. We are here for the grand opening. And if you have not been down here yet, and if you have not been watching on the stream, can I just tell you, it is remarkable. Construction began in June 2023. They took out the Northern Lights Theater, and they put this in. Guests will enjoy over 70,000 square feet of renovations on this first floor gaming level. Much more on what Potawatomi has going on in just a moment on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a, oof, like mm-hmm. just, instead of a, huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of
you
taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Trying too hard when really it's closer than it is too far. Cause I'm in too deep and I'm trying to keep up above in my.
We are live this morning from the brand new, the grand opening of Potawatomi's Vegas style sportsbook. And if you are watching on the stream, you can see the giant TVs, the giant screens, the monitors behind us, the ticker tape that is running underneath, and a little bit later we'll try to give you a little bit more of a tour of what we are seeing here at Potawatomi Sportsbook. We are joined now by Justin Arnett. He's the VP of Digital Gaming. Justin, You guys have done an incredible job on the sports book. How are you feeling this morning now that you've gotten this sucker to the finish line?
Oh, I'm so excited. I mean, it's been a long time coming. And, you know, everyone, they've said some kind things about our temporary space leading up to this. And I'm just thinking, come on, you haven't seen. Yes. And so I'm just so excited the day's here. I mean, I'm very proud of what our team built. And so, yeah, I'm just ready to go.
What are you most excited about? Because I look down and I could probably list about 7 or 8 different things. So, like, what's the top of your list of this is what people need to know how cool this space is?
Well, number one is that screen. I mean, I don't think every video I've seen that I've tried to take, it doesn't do it justice when you're in the space. And
I totally agree with that, by the
right?
way.
Yeah,
because I took one when I was here the other day and I was watching it and I was like, no, you don't get it. It's much, much more impressive than this video is showing.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives me goosebumps, really. So I love it. I just want to build. We really wanted to build something Milwaukee could be proud of. And, like, I don't even say when we say Vegas style, I don't think so. I think we're just on par with everybody there. And, you know, I'm a Vegas guy. And I think we built something really great. And I'm just really stoked about it. I'm excited for the. We're putting up for free the UFC events, right? The pay-per-views. The Canelo fight tomorrow night. We're going to have that showing in the book, right? You can just come in and get a beer and watch the fights. So we'll have both pay-per-views up. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the food menu they put together. You know, our culinary team just knocked it out of the park. It's an incredible menu. Like, just
have you tasted? What do you recommend? You know,
honestly,
instead of chef recommends, you know,
sure.
VP of digital gaming recommends.
You know, the fried chicken maybe sounds, but it's incredible.
Ooh.
I mean, when I'm eating the fried chicken and like juice is dripping out, it's like, you can't be, you know, you can't beat it. Just the little cheese sticks. Everything I've had has been outstanding. Like I can't be more pleased. And I'm not like a homer for that. I'll be pretty honest with you. If it wasn't up to par, but it really is. This VIP space, this kind of buyout space, we're on the balcony of the mezzanine up here. I mean, I'm really excited. I hope that takes off. It's really a cool kind of premier spot for people to take advantage of. So really just the whole vibe, just to really do it the right way.
Justin Arnett, VP of Digital Gaming, joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You mentioned the Alvarez fight tomorrow. You can also watch UFC 301. That will be here at the Sportsbook as well. And, oh, by the way, it is also the Kentucky Derby, and the Brewers are taking on the Cubs. So tomorrow should be a pretty incredible day here at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Okay, we have a question for you. If you had to pick one day in the entire sports calendar to spend the entire day, sun up to sundown, maybe even past sundown, depending on the time of year that it is, at the Sportsbook, what would it be for you?
Boy, I'm a football guy at heart. I'm a college football guy. So Saturdays and say like October, September, October, you just can't beat that. You got game after game going all day. Sundays, I love to. Football, see, I'm a football guy. So pick any football day of the year and I'm all in.
And the screens have the capability. We're seeing the giant version of them right now if you're watching on the YouTube stream, but they all can be split.
Oh, yeah.
So how many games, theoretically, can you have going at one time
you
here
know,
at the Potawatomi Sportsbook?
So I don't remember the exact – our biggest layout, it's in the 30s, I want to say, 30-something screens. Plus, we've got the little – they've you know tiny screens
which
I'm doing air quotes
which are 80 inch
below,
by
yeah,
the
85s the 80 1185s down below
I see them
right now we've got the floral design the tribal floral design but those are 85s so they, you know, they look tiny right but it's
the smallest 85 inch television I've ever seen.
I know so so that's I guess that's to put it in perspective like the screen so yeah I mean, we have the capability to put up to almost, 37 or something different games at one time on different screens in the space.
So people want to come, maybe you want to watch a game, place down a bet, have a beer. Do they need reservations? Can they just walk in? How can the public take advantage of such a great thing that you've built here with the Potawatomi Sportsbook?
You can definitely just walk in. So we have a kind of a tiered seating. So we have almost every spot you can just come in and take a seat. There are a couple areas down there where we might ask you if we're full and we need somebody who's dining and you're not dining, we might politely ask you to move. But like up front, that's all just open to everybody. Out back by the bar, that's open to everybody. Some of the stuff in the middle, you know, depending on the situation, but we're pretty flexible. We're going to figure out what that looks like over time and nail it down.
And like any other top-tier sports book, you made it very easy for people to make bets and place bets as well. Tell them where they can go. Mm. If you're enjoying your games, on the big screens, on the televisions, where do you go to make those bets?
So we've got the ticket writer counter on the side. We have them on both sides. We mostly on that right side. If you're facing the screen, that's what we're going to man most of the time. The other side is more overflow for the big events. And then also we have the kiosk right around the corner. We have 20. So we still have the kiosk on the skywalk right when you come in upstairs. So if you want to just get in and get out, you can do that. And then right around the corner between the sports book and the poker room, we've got 27 kiosks lined up in that hallway. So we make it easy. You know, I'm working on that mobile app. It's probably going to be later this year or something like that. Then you can sit in your seat.
Well, what have you been doing, Justin?
I know.
It's not like you got anything to show for it.
I know. I was celebrating last night a little bit too much, maybe. So,
he told us that working on the app.
Justin told us.
Right, I got to get back on the app.
We're lucky that we even have him here this morning, given how the festivities went last night.
Yeah, but it's okay. I'm a big boy.
I mean, it's a celebration well earned because, I mean, ever since this was announced, and I know you've had the kiosks, we were doing some stuff this year at Rockin' Brews with Gary and Greg and doing the football show. Man, this is... I don't know what I was picturing, but it's somehow even better than whatever I was picturing because this is a really cool space.
Yeah, thank you. And I feel the same way. I'm just beyond stoked for it, just ready to get going.
So today is the official grand opening. I know you guys have a bit of a ceremony happening a little bit later today. When can people actually get their butts in the seats here at the brand new Pottawatomie Sportsbook?
I think after our little media event, there's a little cleanup time because we're going to have a little fun with it. But 1 p.m. I think we should be for sure good to go, hopefully a little before that. But if you set the sights at 1, you're going to be good.
And as we mentioned, it is a perfect weekend for the Pottawatomie Sportsbook to be opening because you've got that Canelo Alvarez fight. You've got UFC 301. You've got the Kentucky Derby racing this weekend. And oh, by the way, the Cubs taking on the Brewers. I'm sure no one will be paying attention to that series at all this weekend. Justin Arnett, VP of Digital Gaming, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for having us. And thanks for all the work you put in to creating this incredible space right here in Milwaukee.
Well, thanks. It's my pleasure. Nothing makes me more excited than building this stuff and bring it to the people and share my passion for this world. And so, thanks. I'm glad you're enjoying it. It makes me happy.
All right, guys. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook right after this. Stick around.
All day, every day, the new Pottawatomie Sportsbook is the place to be for wagering on any sport, team, player, or game. A state-of-the-art venue with seating for over 200, a VIP deck, first-class bar, and 2,000-foot video wall. Stop in at any one of the self-service kiosks at Pottawatomie Sportsbook today.